In this Friday edition, we share more comments from the girls' basketball guest from last week. These are comments they had regarding their experience during the COVID pandemic. How did they feel about not going to school and returning to classrooms? Staying on an education tangent, I viewed a recorded virtual discussion from Humboldt State University forums with Dr. Robin Wall Kimmerer and HSU professors and guests. They talked about traditional ecological knowledge. I found the discussion inspiring and downloaded a TED Talk presentation by Dr. Kimmerer about honorable harvest. We start with the Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District girls basketball players.
I don't want to wallow in depression, but how life felt during the pandemic, and then now that we're back, and you have to still, like, here we are in a mask, wearing masks, and you have to do testing. Like, is that a big hardship, or is that not such a big deal?
Sandra Watson.
So COVID testing, I don't think is a really, like, big issue with some people. I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, and everyone's opinion does matter. But for basketball, it wasn't, like, some, like, hassle to do it, you know? I mean, it got us out of class, and we were usually doing math during the time, so... Yeah, but the off season, I practiced a lot because I knew that this year I was going to play and that there would be basketball. But during the off season, I still, like, played, like, here and there, and still, like, kept up with basketball and, like, didn't just, like, completely forget about it. It did suck not to have school or basketball because, like, all of my friends and stuff, but... I feel like being back in school and, like, full-time and going back into sports, it just makes me happier to be, like, put my energy into something that matters and that, like, is good for me. And I feel like my mental health has gotten a lot better over the summer because the summer was, like, a lot of stuff happened. But, definitely putting my energy into basketball has definitely helped me, like, be happier, and, like, being in shape makes me feel good, and, like, doing something that makes me happy, well, it just makes me happy. So, and playing with, like, all of my friends and, like, going against, like, Hoopa is, like, always fun for me. So yeah.
Maggie Morse.
I think COVID is a big issue with a lot of people, and, like, it is, like, contagious and, like, definitely not fake or anything, but you know, COVID has, like, a lot of people have definitely lost their lives and got really sick, and my parents have both had it, but I've thankfully never got it, and I've got vaccinated. I haven't got the booster because it's, like, over 18 or something, and being back in school after COVID, I mean, I definitely was a little worried at first because, like, knowing that I could get sick, like, scares me and, like, gave me anxiety, you know? But I've kind of, like, laid off because we get tested every week, and I don't think it's, like, a huge big deal for me. I mean, like I said, everyone can have their own opinion and everyone's opinion matters, but my take on it is, like, you know, it's just I go to school, I go home, I go to practice or something, but I don't know.
Kalia Mitchell.
So, like, being out of school, I hated being out of school because, like, I live in a house on a hill and there's nothing to do and my dog just wants to play outside and I'm not up for it. So, like, my anxiety definitely went, my mental health definitely was, like, kind of bad over the summer because, I mean, I wasn't in school. I didn't see, like, any of my friends. I couldn't go anywhere. And, like, yeah. So, I had, like, really bad anxiety over the summer because knowing that I could get sick and, like, definitely that my family got it, like, I had to go to my other parents' house when my family did get it. And that was kind of, like, worrisome to me because, like, you know, people die from the virus and that's kind of, like, a scary topic to talk about. But, yeah.
How have you felt about, like, what's it feel like to be back in school? Or were you nervous that we were going to do distance learning again? Or what would you have said if we did distance?
Like at first, when COVID first hit around Hoopa and we had to go out, at first, like, I didn't say goodbye to any of my friends, nothing like that, because we didn't really know what was going to happen. I just thought it was going to be like a few week thing and it was going to be over with. And so I didn't say bye to any of my friends. And when we left, it like just was coming month after month and we still weren't going back into school and just kept getting worse and worse. And from the beginning to now, like, it was, to be honest, it's depressing to be in your house every single day, like, especially in the beginning. Like, the first year, you couldn't really do anything because everyone was still trying to be really safe. And it's hard to stay in your house, like, almost the same people every single day. And sometimes your family might get tired of you. And, yeah, like that. And when we went back into school, I personally never got COVID out of all the, like, one of my family members, was it out of all this time of COVID has got it, and he had no symptoms at all. But when we went back into school, I was a little bit nervous, but more honestly excited and anxious for it to, like, see what we are going to able to do. And, like, our 8th grade year, this was way better than our 7th, because we had to, like, our last school year, I guess, when they were trying to do the COVID thing in school at the same time, we'd go, like, twice a week and only for a few hours, and that wasn't very fun. And with HAT, because they split up our group, so, like, you only got to see, like, half of your friends, and you really couldn't change that. But this year, I think, this school year is a lot better besides having to wear masks. But I think they eased off because our school's been good about not getting COVID in it. They've kind of eased off a little bit on, like, actually the 6 feet apart thing. They just still want you to be safe. Most of the time, I really don't think about that. If I do think about it, like, I'm not worried personally for myself that because I'm actually really healthy. I don't do anything to, like, make me not healthy, and
I was just wondering if you get scared, because I know we've all gone through our levels of, you know, panic. So school being in is probably better than school being
distance. Yeah, because I feel like I would get, like, I wouldn't feel good about myself. I don't think I'd be able to, I'm not as motivated without school and, like, a routine every day that you do, and what are you guys doing? And, like, I'm not really personally scared for myself, but I'm more scared for, like, the elders around us, especially, like, because I know my great-grandma that comes and tries to see us, me and my, like, cousins and stuff, tries to see her grandkids every week that go to school every day, which is dangerous for her. But I know that she doesn't, like, she'll get, like, sad and she doesn't see us. Like, I'm scared for my family, like, elder's sake, especially, like, my grandma, because I know she has, like, heart problems. And then my great-grandpa, he has health problems, too.
Abby McCullough.
And the elders around here, a lot of them do, too. So being in school 100% makes my mental health better. Especially, like, the sports, all the sports you get to do, seeing your friends, socializing, and, like, getting to talk with, most of the time, talk with different people, and having something different in your day. Rather, if you were out of school, it'd just be staying at home, same thing every day. When we came back to school, I was really nervous, like, just because I haven't seen almost everyone in, like, a year and a half. And so it's completely different. Some people looked a lot different from what they did two years ago. I started 7th grade, and I didn't know how that was going to go because I knew I wasn't going to get, like, a normal 7th grade year, like the switching classrooms and everything. This year we got to do that, go to different classes, and we had to get used to different teachers. We have four, and then we have all our elective teachers. So, yeah, we have our science class, which is Yuko, really good teacher. We have Edgar, he's our history, he's a really good teacher. Chrisman is English. Maggie is math. And Curtis Kane is, like, our art. Right now he's filling in for our PE teacher. So he's our, like, our art and our Europe teacher getting us prepared for high school. And they're all really amazing teachers.
What helped Lake?
We need more help with people helping us on our schoolwork in general. Sometimes the teachers can be irritated with, like, just today. And sometimes, like, just be having a bad day like everyone else can. And we need more help, as, like, each person needs more help. Yeah, like, inside the classroom, like, you can have, like, a person, like, the besides just the teacher, because the teacher's working with 10 to 20 students at a time. And, like, yeah, more about the sports, but, like, I think we should have more sports teams, like, other sports. We didn't get to have a volleyball season. And there's other type of sports you can do at schools, and we just don't do them. We have HOOPA. We have HOOPA language. And we have our cultural connections. We have a health. But we also do need, because they switched from when we were in school the last years, like before COVID, they were getting 4 days of PE and 1 day of their electives. But now we only get two, and I don't think it's enough time. Like, I know almost everyone I see participates in the gym, and that's, like, the only time I see some certain kids, like, participate in that type of stuff. And I think gym time helps a lot of people. And, like, the games you get to play are fun.
You're listening to the Friday edition. We switch now to the edited audio of a TED Talk presentation by Dr. Robin Wall Kimmer.
Greetings. My name is Light Shining Through Sky Woman. I'm of the Potawatomi Nation, member of the Eagle Clan, and the Bear. My ancestors are Anishinaabe, the original people, and Zaganosh, the newcomers. I'm a mother, a daughter, a sister, an auntie. Who could want anything more? But I have a confession to make. I wish that I could photosynthesize to make food out of light and water, to make medicines and give them away for free, to do the work of the world and for the world while standing silently in the sun. But I can't. I'm not an autotroph, a producer, but a heterotroph. I'm an animal. I'm destined by my biology to be a consumer. I must take from the world in order to live. But if I could photosynthesize, I would make berries. In the Potawatomi language, we call these beautiful berries Odemin, the heartberry. We acknowledge them as the leaders of the berry people, for they're the first to give us their fruits in the summer. In the language I was born to, we call them strawberries. And in the language I've learned as a scientist, we call them by the Latin binomial Fragaria virginiana. And in all three languages, they are so sweet. I'm a scientist, a plant ecologist, and also a student, just a beginner, of our traditional teachings. My understanding of the world lies at the intersection of two great ways of knowing, between science and indigenous knowledge. And in scientific ways of thinking, these berries are the reproductive structures of a distinct species, a vital component of the food web. In indigenous ways of thinking, we recognize them as the berry people, who are persons, non-human persons, with their own intrinsic roles in the democracy of species. These are sovereign beings with their own intelligences, their own wisdom, their own responsibilities. Berries as persons. In some nations, as you know, the rights of all species are enshrined in the Constitution because they are people. In U.S. law, corporations are granted the status of people, while berries are without any right at all. I ask you, what corporation gives you wild strawberries on a summer morning? By any measure, when you put one in your mouth, you know that wild strawberries are a gift, all wrapped in red and green. The natural world is a source of gifts, not commodities, but gifts. Berries are given to us by the plants themselves. In fact, in our language, the Potawatomi word for berry, min, is very closely related to our word for giving gifts, minidawag. giving a gift is to be as a berry. How we think about our relationship to the living world matters deeply. It is our moral imagination that will shape our futures as much as any technology or policy. When something is understood as a gift instead of a commodity, a door opens, an opening to the potential for reciprocity. And much of mainstream culture has chosen to see the earth as property. But we could choose differently. We, you and I together, we could choose to live in a world made of gifts. And as human people, we are showered daily with gifts from Shakmakwe, Mother Earth. And the question we face as non-photosynthetic, lamentably, beings is how do we respond to the gifts of the earth? How can we be ecological consumers, as we must, in a way that honors those gifts? We have only to look around us at the wounds we have inflicted on the earth to know that we don't yet have that answer. And where will we find a teacher for this most pressing question of our time, when our actions have brought creation to the brink of a massive wave of extinction, when we stand at the edge of a climate precipice? And in my culture, plants are known not only as people, but as our teachers, our oldest teachers. After all, they've been here far longer than we have. They know how to fulfill their responsibilities. While we human people are still trying to figure it out, they know how to build soil, recycle water, create homes for endless other beings. They give us the very air we breathe. They know how to make berries out of light. We might do well to listen. And if berries are our teachers, what are they telling us? In our ceremonies, we honor the berries by passing them in a bowl for everybody in the circle to share. And they remind us of the teachings known as the one bowl, one spoon, that the earth is as one bowl, filled with everything that we need. A bowl with finite capacity. When it's empty, it's empty. And there's just one spoon, the same one for all of us, for humans and for the more than humans alike. There cannot be a teaspoon for some people and a power shovel for others. So say the berries. Indigenous science and philosophy is a rich source of wisdom for the challenges we face in the future. And I've had the gift of wonderful teachers who have shared with me, and it's now my responsibility to share with you on behalf of the plants. And one of our oldest Anishinaabe teachings, the prophecy of the seventh fire, tells us that one day all of the people of the earth, the indigenous as well as the newcomers, are going to come to a fork in the path on this land. One of those paths is soft and green. You could walk barefoot on it. The other one is black and burnt, and the cinders would cut your feet. We're told that in order to choose the path of life in this time of the seventh fire, instead of walking forward, we should first turn around and pick up what our ancestors have left behind for us, gather up the teachings, and then we'll be prepared to find that soft green path. And among the lessons are ones that come from the simple act of berry picking. When we go out picking, we are asked to abide by the honorable harvest. It's a set of unwritten guidelines for taking from the earth, since we can't photosynthesize. And now, in an increasingly urbanized society, few of us are lucky enough to go out picking wild foods. Our food comes from the grocery store, or so we think. That's nonsense, of course. Ultimately, everything that we consume comes from the earth. We are still a subsistence species. So the philosophy of how we all pick berries has relevance to everything that we consume, whether directly from the land or in the marketplace, whether we're picking berries or a new computer. The philosophy and practice that govern consumption in a beautiful world made out of gifts go something like this. When you get to the meadow, you just don't start grabbing everything in sight. We are taught never to take the first plant that we see. It might be the last. And then we ask permission. I've been taught to address that plant, to give it my greetings and thanks, and to explain why I need these berries, ask if I might have some. And I know there are certainly places where if you talk to a plant, they would call you crazy. But in a worldview that regards them as people, it's just good manners. It's a two-way conversation, though. If you're going to ask, you have to listen for the answer. Listen in different ways. Look around and see whether the plants are numerous and healthy, whether they have enough to share. And if the answer is no, you go home. For we remember that they do not belong to us. Taking without permission is also known as stealing. So say the berries. If you are granted permission, then take only what you need and no more. Use everything that you take. It's disrespectful of a life that has been given to you to waste it. Take in such a way that does the least harm and in a way that benefits the growth of the plant. Don't use a shovel when a digging stick will do. So say the berries. Be grateful. In an economy which urges us to always want more and more, the practice of gratitude is truly a radical act. Thankfulness makes you feel rich beyond measure when wealth is counted as having enough to share. And the next tenet of the Honorable Harvest is to share it with humans and more than humans alike. This is the teaching of the berries. The Honorable Harvest is a pathway to sustainability, but we know what a slippery word that is. Carol Crow, an Algonquin biologist I know, was going to a conference on sustainable development, and the elders in her community asked her what that was. She offered the standard definitions of sustainability: a means of consuming the resources of the earth in such a way that we do not impair the ability of the earth to provide the same resources to future generations. Sounds good, right? Her elders were very quiet. And finally, one of them said, "It sounds to me like they just want to keep on taking from the earth. Don't they understand that you can't just take? You go to that conference and you tell them that in the way of our people, the first thing we think of should be what can we give. I was taught to reciprocate berries with a gift of my own. It might be leaving a gift of honor or a gift of care, like scattering the seeds or planting the little ones back in the ground so that the plants will flourish after the harvest. I would add one more thing to this list. Defend them fiercely. Love them so much, you will not let them be lost. This is how we pick berries. This is how indigenous environmental philosophy deals with the question of what is our responsibility in return for the gifts of the earth. And I ask you to consider these teachings from the berries and carry them beyond the berry patch. Imagine social, political, economic decision-making based on the Honorable Harvest. Imagine a land developer, I like to do this, eyeing a prime parcel of woodland for a housing development. What if he had to ask permission of the forest before converting it to pavement? What if he had to abide by their answer? What if he were mandated to take only what was needed and to give something back in return? We have chosen the policies that we live by, and we can choose again. I'm told that there is an even older teaching, older and more fundamental than take only what you need, and it's take only that which is given to you. Think about it. We already know this. We would not walk into our grandmother's house and start rifling through her cupboards looking for cookies and just take what we want. That would be unthinkable. We wait until she offers us cookies on her favorite china plate. And yet, as a society, we take indiscriminately from the earth whatever we want. We live in the house of Grandmother Earth. We should behave accordingly. Take only that which is given to us is a pretty challenging ethical and practical problem. Some things seem obvious. Berries clearly give themselves to us. With lures of sweetness and color, they beg us to pick them. And by eating them up and dispersing their seeds, we are returning the gift. Both berries and berry pickers benefit by the transaction. They remind us that all flourishing is mutual. And if berries can evolve systems of reciprocity, Why not us? Can we extend the concept of the honorable harvest to address the environmental challenges that we face today? Coal from mountaintop removal. That is not given to us. Tar sands oil that destroy the land is not given to us. Shale gas from hydrofracking that poisons water so we can have more things to throw away is clearly not given to us. But the sun's energy is given to us every day. Every day the wind blows and the surf rolls. These are given to us freely and limitless in supply, although not without their own cost. Take only that which is given could be a key part of a sustainable energy policy. We human people have a moral obligation to the future, to our grandchildren, and to the earth herself. And that obligation seems so difficult to exercise when we're made to feel powerless by the actions of multinational corporations, big money, unresponsive political systems. But you and I, we are not powerless. The teachings of the honorable harvest did not disappear with the buffalo. They are even more compelling now as then. We may not be able to directly stop a mining company or the poisoners of water, but we do have control over our own honor. We can reclaim the ethic of the honorable harvest. We can choose to ask permission and listen to the answer. We can choose to take only what we need and to use respectfully whatever we have taken. We can choose not to consume things which are dishonorably harvested. We can follow the lead of the berries and demand that our economic system be aligned with ecological laws and human values. We could choose to be grateful recipients instead of mindless thieves. And in this way, you and I together can live with honor and sustain the lives of those that sustain ours. Our honor requires us to educate, motivate, and activate each other to reject business as usual. Business which is stealing possibility from humans and bears and salmon and berries alike. When as individuals we act with honor, we can create a social movement more powerful than corporations. We set our feet on a path to create what beloved clan mother Audrey Shenandoah called justice not only for ourselves, but justice for all of creation. For the bowl of berries, which is the earth, to be refilled, we must also reclaim our roles as givers to the earth. We say that gifts and responsibilities are two sides of the same coin. Birds were given the gift of song, so it's their responsibility to greet the day. Stars were given the gift of sparkle, and therefore the duty to guide our way at night. What are our gifts as human people? We can't fly. We can't breathe underwater. We can't even photosynthesize. We have the gift of choice, of story, of gratitude, of love, of hands that make ingenious tools and transformative art. We can put our hands into the earth, restoring the damage that we have done, healing the land the way the plants have shown us to. It's not the land that's broken, but our relationship to land. We can heal that, you and I, together. It starts by asking ourselves, what will I give in return for the gifts of the earth? In return for the gift of berries? In return for the privilege of breath? Mi'iu, mi'kwech.
The Friday edition is a production of KIDE Hoopa Tribal Radio. The Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District Superintendent Jennifer Gluck arranged and hosted this session with the Trinity Valley and Hoopa Valley girls basketball players. The Dr. Kimmer TED Talk video is loaded to our website with an access link on the homepage. The producer and engineer for this Friday edition is Joseph Orozco, lead producer, KIDE-FM. We thank you for listening.